So I don't know if you've heard about this, but on September 14th, an Iowa man, but he's actually a college student, named Carson King went viral. Have you heard about this? He held a sign on ESPN's College Game Day asking for donations on this app called Venmo. I don't know if you've heard of this app called Venmo, but you can give money to people. And he asked for money so that he could get his Busch Light beer supply. And Carson thought that he might get a few bucks to have beer in college, but he was wrong. The money started to pour in. Tens of thousands of dollars poured in. And when the cash unexpectedly came, King decided that he was going to actually give the money to a local children's hospital instead of buying beer, leading Venmo and Anheuser-Busch to pledge matching donations. Have you heard about this story? The governor of Iowa got involved. He declared September 28th as Carson King Day. And there was a benefit concert with local musicians in Des Moines to continue the fundraising. And that's where the Des Moines Register sent a reporter to do a profile on Carson. But during his investigation, he found two offensive tweets that the 24-year-old had sent when he was 16 years old. Now, Carson immediately apologized. He said, "My tweets were brought to my attention by a reporter, and once he pointed them out, I went back and I looked at them, and I was really upset with myself." And he went on, "Obviously, you know I've made mistakes in my past. Everyone has. And you know, I really hope people see that you at this point in my life, I'm grown. I'm caring. I'm generous. And I just, you know, that I hope that that's what people focus on." But apparently the apology was not sincere enough, because Anheuser-Busch, who had pledged $350,000 to the campaign, said this: "We will honor our commitment by donating more than $350,000 to the University of Iowa hospital and clinics, but we are no longer giving King a year's supply of free beer or putting his face on future Busch Light cans." To which I say, great! But there's another few things I could say. First of all, everything that you put on the internet, it's there forever. And haven't we all told our kids this? Don't post anything that's stupid, because it will come back and bite you. But second is this: Carson King is the same age as my son, John. And you know, the male brain doesn't fully develop until it's in its late 20s. Or as my wife would say, late 50s, or maybe never. And all 16-year-old boys do stupid things. Shouldn't there be a little bit of grace in this situation? But third, and this is probably the main point, is that the story has a subtle indication that our society is changing. For hundreds of years, we've lived in a culture where when people have committed an offense, we expect some sort of apology or restitution. But then we as a society have agreed that once a person paid the price, their debt is paid. But this does not appear to be the case anymore. We've seemed to move from seeing people as individuals who sometimes do stupid things to something else. We find one bad thing and then we want to destroy their lives. We paint them as evil people, not just people who do bad things. And the scary thing about this is that we've all done really stupid and bad things. Now, just as an aside, I'm sure you've all heard about artificial intelligence. It's computer programs that are super powerful. And I can guarantee you that in the future, every single one of us is going to have an artificial intelligence look at everything we've ever written, everything we've ever said, everything that's available about us on the internet, everything. And it'll make a judgment call as far as what our value to society is. It's not far off. So please be careful what you post on the internet. It'll be there for the rest of your life. But I'm using this illustration because today we're starting a new sermon series, and it's called A Multi-Dimensional Gospel. I recently read a book about how various societies operate. The book is called The 3D Gospel. It's ministry in guilt, shame, and fear cultures. The book points out that there are three main cultural bases for every society, and some of them highlight one over the other. Now, ours is Western civilization. It goes back to the Greeks and the Romans in Europe. Ours is a guilt-innocent society, a guilt-innocent culture. We judge people by their guilt for an offense, and then after they've completed some sort of repayment or debt to society, then we allow them to rejoin society. We declare them at that point kind of free of their debts. But there are different ways of looking at society. For example, in Asian societies, it's not guilt or innocence. In Indian societies, it's not guilt or innocence. In those cultures, it's more about honor and shame. In those cultures, it is more important that you do not bring dishonor to your family or to your tribe or to your culture or to your community. It's about your identity as a person. So when these people do bad things, it just isn't that they've done something wrong. They've also brought shame to their society. And the shame, my friends, this shame is a very, very powerful force, an extremely powerful force. And next week, we're going to talk about shame honor societies. The third culture exists in animistic societies. Think of the African countries or the Caribbean. And in these societies or cultures, there are good and dark spirits all around. And they put curses on someone. And they believe that curses are real. In these societies, it really isn't about doing bad things, as we know that good and dark forces are battling and that there are human players involved in that battle. These cultures live in fear of the dark spirits and the need and the power to fight the dark spirits. Now, to some extent, all three of these exist in every society. In fact, they were all present at the time of Jesus. If you look at Jesus, when he walked this earth, there was this thing about fear and power and honor and shame and guilt and innocence. We're going to talk about that as part of our sermon series. You do not want to miss this. But today, I want to spend a little time looking at our own worldview, the Western culture of guilt and innocence. And we're going to look at this very, very complicated passage from Romans 3. But I'm going to make it simple for you. We're only going to look at verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned, you've sinned, and we've all sinned and fallen short. Now, the first thing I want to point out, there's three things I want to point out, but the first thing is this, and that is sin in a guilt-innocent society. Sin is an action. It's something we've done. If you look at the word sin in the Greek, it's the word hamartia, which is from an archery term where the archer is pointing his arrow at the target and he lets go and the arrow flies, but it misses the mark. It's called missing the mark. That word is hamartia. And if you think about it, we miss the mark. It's an action that we do. And we have rules and regulations, and society revolves around actions. And we judge people by their actions. Have you ever stolen anything? You don't have to raise your hand. I won't raise my hand. But when I was in grade school, a distant cousin and I and some other people, we went to Disneyland. And when we went to Disneyland, we were going through the rides and stuff like this. This was probably 40 years ago. And my cousin went into one of the gift shops and he stole a key fob that had a Disney emblem on it. And he came out and we started walking, and I didn't even know he'd done this. But I knew that he hadn't bought anything. And then we're stopping in the middle of Main Street. And he goes, "Hey, I got something for you." And I go, "What do you got for me?" He pulls out of his pocket and goes, "I got this key fob." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, where did you get that?" And he said, "I just got it for you. Here, why don't you put it in your pocket?" So I put it in my pocket and it burned. It burned like hot oil in my pocket. I couldn't believe I had this stolen merchandise in my pocket. It was horrible. But the truth is that I don't think he even wanted the merchandise. I think he just wanted to see if he could get away with it. He had done an action, but in his head, he just wanted to steal. You see, in guilt-innocent societies, it's actions that matter. We don't really care about what goes through a person's mind for them to steal. After they've done an action, we might want to find out why they did that action. But for the most part, if persons aren't doing actions, we leave them alone. That's one of the great benefits of a guilt-innocent society. There's a lot of freedom, because as long as you do what's required of you, then everything is okay. In guilt-innocent societies, it's actions that matter. If you want to think about stealing, that's okay, as long as you don't steal, right? And that's why guilt-innocent societies have free speech. Because speech doesn't carry any moral weight until it's turned into action. But this isn't true in honor-shame societies or fear-power cultures. In these cultures, thoughts matter. And words have to be carefully controlled so that one does not bring shame or invoke evil spirits for that society. You see, that may be part of the problem with Carson King. Even though it is completely legal for him to post anything he wants to in a guilt-innocent culture, this isn't the case for other cultures. And the more we, as the United States, become globalized, the more ways of thinking are brought into our own culture, and the more we kind of think like guilt, or our guilt-innocent culture goes like an honor-shame culture, or maybe even an animistic. But Jesus atones for all of our sins. His actions of becoming like a man, living with us and dying on the cross for our sins, all are an action that atone for all of our actions in a guilt-innocent society. Second, our culture, or any culture, needs to be clear on the understanding of right and wrong. In a guilt-innocent culture, we all have to agree to what is things that we can do and what are things that we can't do. Because if we're going to be judged by the actions we take, then we need to be very clear on what are good actions and what are wrong actions. And for us Christians, we know the answer to that, right? Anything that's in the Bible that the Bible tells us to do is good. And the Bible is our roadmap to what to do for right or wrong. And if it's clearly prohibited in the Bible, then it's something we shouldn't do, except that most of the do's and the don'ts in the Bible are contained in the Old Testament. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled all the laws of the Old Testament. And the main law that Jesus preached was this: what? Love God and love your neighbor. We follow the Old Testament law because we love God and we want to please him, but we also follow the laws around us because we want to be good citizens in our society. This works really great when our society and Scripture agree on what is right and wrong. It doesn't work when we say that this is right and wrong and society says this is right and wrong. Then we have a problem. Which do we follow? How do we follow? Think about some of the things that we have to contend with within our own society. I just put a list down here. You can probably think of 100 things, but here, what is the correct number of children that we should have? Is it one? Is it two? If my children are listening, it's 10? How do we view dating? How do we do love? How do we look at romance? Is it okay to curse You know, when I was growing up, I never heard one foul language word on the TV, and now it seems to be ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Should we get a tattoo? I've been thinking about one. There are hundreds more, but we as a church can agree that we have a very strong definition of right and wrong. But as I look at the United States and Western culture, I think their idea of what is right and wrong is vastly different. And sure, it's pretty easy to be, you know, the big stuff we can all agree on. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't steal. But I'm not sure we agree on everything. And as a Christian in a guilt-innocent society, this torments us, particularly because each successive generation seems to have their own understanding of what is right and wrong. The things that are absolutely correct, this is right, this is wrong. But here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus absolves us from all sin, even the ones where we don't get every detail right. We try as best as we can to get a common understanding of right and wrong, but we're going to get it wrong. But Jesus still absolves us from those sins. The third point is this, and this is pretty fascinating when you think about it. The third point is that guilt-innocent cultures focus on the individual. Guilt-innocent cultures focus on the individual. Our salvation is based upon what? What we do. Our own actions, not the actions of anyone else. But believe it or not, that is not true in other cultures. In other cultures, your salvation is a function of the society that you live in. How about that? The righteousness with God is based upon the community. And in some cultures, the community will make the sacrifice to appease God. We see people as individuals. We see them rising or falling on their own merit. We talk about personal salvation, and that's a very Western guilt-innocence concept. We are primarily a guilt-innocent culture, and there's a lot that the Bible has to say about guilt and innocence. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on, because after he says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, he says this, that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter which culture you live in because we are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. And even though we all sin with our actions individually, Jesus is our redemption individually. He paid the price. Carson King paid a price. He asked for forgiveness, and some people did, but some people did not. And I believe they did not because we're beginning to see other cultures come into our Western culture. We're beginning to see honor, shame, and fear, power concepts take a more prominent role even in the United States and in our Western society. But just so you know, Carson King is not done yet. Apparently, the whole story has gone viral, and now he has raised $3 million, and it will all be donated to hospitals. But I still don't think that he's getting a free one-year subscription to beer. And I think that's a really good thing, to not give a college student a free subscription to beer. But we live in a society of guilt-innocence. And the good news for us is that Jesus has paid our debt. He has made us white as snow, and he loves us. Next week, we're going to look at the guilt, or the honor, shame, and then the week after that, we're going to look at the power of fear. So you don't want to miss it. Would you please rise and join me in prayer? Dear God, we live in guilt and in fear and in shame. Give us the assurance that we are absolutely justified for all of our sins, both the ones we know of and the ones we don't know of, the sins of action and the sins of inaction, because you have sent your Son to declare our innocence, to bring us honor, and to fill us with your power. Thank you for the blessings of this day, and until we gather together again, keep us in your grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless